You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the Racing Podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Kempton and Chepstow. It's another very good day of racing. The big race coming from Chepstow, of course, the feature race of the day is the Welsh Grand Nationals. Also a couple of cracking graded races at Kempton. We're also racing at Wetherby, Wolverhampton, Leopardstown and Limerick on Tuesday. You can hear every race live in the company of Darren Owen, Gary Capel and Paddy Aspel on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four contests on Tuesday is Mr. Chris Pimlott. And I have to say, full of the joys of the season.
Yes, full of festive cheer, Sam. That is correct. And, well, we're halfway through the afternoon on Boxing Day. And, well, I've had to stretch for a few whiskies and brandies and a few Habana cigars because there's been some scintillating and breathtaking experiences this afternoon. Core blimey, none other than Mike Bite.
Oh.
Oh, my great giddy aunt. Daryl Jacob will look at that tonight and think, what on earth was I doing?
Yeah, this is the recording this podcast about half an hour after that race, the 205, the Grade 1 Quarto Star novices chase. Daryl Jacob on board Mike Bite was going to win by half the track, it seems, Pimmers, but didn't drop the stick at any stage and took a crashing fall at the last.
Well, he's let him fiddle the second last. He's tail lengths clear. And then all he's got to do is get from A to B at the last fence. He gives him two backhanders and then absolutely fires him into the final fence when he was outside the wings.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just horrendous to see. It was going to be Mike Bite's big day. You know, it was a Grade 1 affair. He did everything right. He was by far and away the best horse in the race. And he paid the penalty. And to be fair, I'm very much side on the air of caution when it comes to criticising the jockeys. But I think there was only one person to blame there.
Do you think there was an element of Hollywood in that? He was going for the grandstand leap over the last and wanted to do it in style? Because, as you say, he was so far clear, it was just about getting the horse from one side of the obstacle to the other, and that would have been enough. But he really roused him into that last one.
Hollywood? Bollywood? Cricklewood? God, blimey, I don't know what he was thinking about doing, but it ended in tears, I'm afraid.
Certainly did. It went the way of Royal Vacation in the end. Another winner for Colin Tizard and Gene Bishop. Paddy Brennan as well. Obviously, Q Card's connections. We see Q Card go a little bit later on in the day as we record this in the King George. Wanting to mention one of the other real disappointments of the day at Kempton as well. And this was Jenkins in the opening race, who went off 2-1 on and had been there or thereabouts at the head of the betting for the Supreme Novices. Was that his true form, do you think, Pimmers? Or is he just not as good as we thought he might be?
I think there's two things. His win at Newbury last time out came where he was pushed along and shoved along and cajoled, and he all of a sudden he sprouted wings. This time, right-handed track, much quicker going, much easier track as well. He was never really happy, to be fair. He never really had a cut at his hurdles, and certainly at the last flight of hurdles, he ran right down it right-handed. So possibly the combination of a right-handed track, quicker ground, everything else like that, just went against him, and he didn't put up the best performance that he could have done. I'd surprise if you see him back round at Kempton again. I think you'd see him more left-handed and going a little bit further, and you'd have to forgive him for that race today. But again, he certainly didn't look a natural over his obstacles either. So I'm afraid it's one forward and two back with Jenkins this afternoon.
He's out to 16-1 for the Supreme Novices Hurdle at Cheltenham next year. Moonracer heads that market now at 6-1. Obviously won the champion bumper before. We don't really seem to have one horse in this division that you can sort of hang your hat on. Last year we had both Min and Altior, who answered every question thrown at them throughout the year. The challengers seem to keep rising to the market and then disappointing. It looks a very difficult race to call this year, Antipost.
It does look a difficult race to call at this moment in time. But again, we've plenty of time.
Yeah.
Post time, it'll be about 2 o'clock, 2:30 on the 14th of March. So don't you be getting giddy. We did see actually Min perform extremely well at Leopardstown in his novice chase today. Again, he absolutely flew the final fence. Fortunately, he got from A to B, but that was a very convincing performance. And again, throughout the race, he did show great technique over his jumps for one who's very inexperienced. So for me, Min was a class performance following the hoof prints of obviously Duvan.
Yeah, certainly was. There'd be a few punters, Pimmers, I think would be ready to completely abandon Ruby Walsh if he was to bring Min down at the last. He has had a couple of high-profile fallers at the last, and if he were to do what Daryl Jacob did, there's already a few people out for Ruby in that respect.
It is, but again, more often than not, the falls that Ruby Walsh has had at the final fence or final hurdle have not been down to jockey error. Whereas, as I say, in my opinion, the might bite was.
Indeed. We'll leave it there then. Jenkins out to 16s for the Supreme Novices. Anything else on your mind lately, Pimmers, before we move on to look at some of Tuesday's action?
I think, again, you know, the racing's been of high quality. It just shows, like you've got today at Kempton, where you've got quality racing, you've got smallish fields. Weatherby, Sedgefield, Market Raisin, where you've got your 0-100s, 0-110s, those fields are filling. And that tells us that we've got plenty of middle-of-the-road horses about. But the top notches, there's quite a big gap between them and the lesser ones. And we need the lesser ones, don't get me wrong, but by the same token, we're just clutching to try and find a new legend, aren't we? A new superstar. Altiar, he could be the one.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
He's going to put his unbeaten record on the line tomorrow afternoon. But we could just something that just wows us a little bit. And obviously, Thistle Crack might just do that later in the afternoon as well.
Certainly may. Let's move on then to look at the racing on Tuesday. Then, as you mentioned, it's small fields all the way for the top class races. We've been given the 1:45 at Kempton. This is the Wayward Lad Novices Chase. It's a Grade 2 event, ran over 2 miles. Just a field of five have lined up for it. But Altior, as we mentioned there, I mentioned him earlier on as well. His form has obviously taken a massive boost with the impressive performance of Min earlier on. And he's another one who, since has gone over fences, has looked almost foot perfect, really.
Oh, I thought his jumping at Sandown was absolutely fab for again, an inexperienced horse. Because round at Sandown, you've got to be able to shorten up, lengthen. You've got those railway fences, you've got the pond fence. And, he really looked like a professional, as if he'd been doing it a lot longer than he has been doing. It was a very good performance. The field that take him on tomorrow are very, very much inferior to him. And, you know, hopefully it should just be another school round for him. I don't think we're going to learn a great deal about him from it, other than if he can just get some more miles on the clock, that'll be a big bonus for him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be a very short price out to you. Any in there that look like the obvious forecast link?
Oh, gosh. Well, Stephanie Francis has, you know, notched up a few victories of late. Again, beating Prince, presenting Lisa at Bangor last time out. But again, different gravy to what he's taking on tomorrow, Stephanie Francis. So it could possibly be the one that, if you're looking for the forecast, would be my idea. But I would be treading very, very carefully. It might be a race where you just want to go and enjoy Altior.
Yeah. Indeed, Altior likely to be a very warm order for that Wayward Lad Novices Chase then at Kempton. We stay at Kempton for another Grade 2 race. This is the 220, the Desert Orchid Chase. 2 miles the trip for four runners this time. And inside a Grugian Special Tiara, we've got a couple of horses who've bumped heads one or two times over the years.
They have indeed, yeah. I think the big factor tomorrow afternoon is that off an official rating of 166, Side of Grugy, 165 Special Tiara, £10 weight difference. If ever Special Tiara is going to get the job done, then everything's in his favour tomorrow afternoon. So you'd be disappointed if he can't get the job done, Special Tiara, tomorrow. He ran well enough, I thought, last time out behind Fox Norton at Cheltenham. Fox Norton seems to be a very much improved performer this season. And again, I think this little bit easier track should well suit him. So, again, sentiment would say we'd love to see Side of Grugy winning again. He ran a cracker in defeat last time out, but I really do feel that with the weight difference tomorrow, it should be the time for Special Tiara.
Yeah, that £10 pulling the weights then could prove critical for Henry de Bromhead's charge. Special Tiara, the pick then in that 220 at Kempton. We go over to Chepstow now for a couple of races there, beginning with the 2 o'clock, which is a Grade 1 juvenile hurdle. 2 miles the trip forward again. 10 runners line up to take their chance in this one. What do you make of these promising youngsters?
Smashing race. Very much a French feel to it, you know.
Because
we've got Daphne de Seal, who was a winner at Cheltenham the last couple of times. We've got Dino Velvet and Dolus, and also Dream Catching from France. And again, Dolus and Dream Catching having their debut runs for the Paul Nicholls Yard. So could well be an interesting sort. And obviously Dino Velvet, we saw him lead at the last to win at Sandown Park when he beat Buckle Street by a convincing 8 lengths. So he's got the form in the book. It's a good little race. Obviously, again, Joseph O'Brien brings a couple over in the shape of Lord Justice and Zigzag. And again, those horses have performed with credit of late. So I think it's going to be a cracker, to be fair. I'm hoping that the Field of Seal can be the one that gets the job done. But I'd definitely be keeping a close eye on certainly any market moves on the two pipe runners, Dolus and Dream Catching.
Okay, a couple of thoughts then in the 2 o'clock at Chepstow. We go to the 2:40 at Chepstow now, which is the Welsh Grand National feature race of the day. A Grade 3 handicap chase, 3 miles and 5 furlongs is the trip. Maximum Field line up to take their chance in it. Pimmers, what caught the eye here?
Oh, my great giddy up. What a cracking race this is. 20 of them have been declared to face the starter in this Welsh Grand National. And again, Native River, Cor Blimey. Wasn't he fantastic when he won the Hennessy at Newbury last time out? His attitude is second to none, isn't it? He's wears his heart on his sleeve. He's always in the van. He jumps with plenty of accuracy. And again, he's definitely got to be the one they've all got to beat. Often as well, this type of race, you think 3 mile, 5 furlongs, well, it doesn't matter. You can drop in and come from off the pace. Majority of times, that is not the case. You usually need to be in the van, because trying to make ground up that Chepstow Hill is often very, very difficult indeed. So Native River, definitely a player. I could say the same, too, about Visconti de Noia, his stable companion, and Theatre Guide. I thought Theatre Guide was a good performance last time out when he won at Cheltenham. Whether 3 miles, 4, 5 furlongs is ideal for him, whether he just might stretch his stamina, remains to be seen. But again, I think Tizard is very well represented with those three runners. Of the others, I thought Union East dropping down the weight, but hasn't really shown us a great deal this year, and could well be a back number rather than one going forward. Obviously, Mountainous, he's won the race twice before. He obviously loves it round here. He just had a little pipe opener 24 days ago. That should have brought him on. And again, you wouldn't leave him out the equation, having shown his love affair for Chepstow. And of the others, the only one I thought could be interesting, more than likely will be a double figure price, is the Venetia Williams runner, Hoblon de Obo. I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, he's number 4 on your card. Again, he's a record that shows he can run well fresh. He'll love the trip. He'll love the ground. And again, if you're fancying something to dibble and dabble each way, he could be the answer. But I'd love to see Native River get the job done.
Yeah, the Hennessy winner there, Native River, could well be the selection in the Welsh Grand National. But a couple of horses to think about there for Pimmers. Thank you very much for that. Enjoy all of the racing on Tuesday, and we'll speak again soon.
Can't wait.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.